A very good evening to all of you. I hope you had a good afternoon. We're so grateful that we've got visitors with us tonight. Hope that you've been encouraged so far and that you'll benefit, as I know all of us will, from a lesson from God's Word tonight. Last week, Adam talked about trash removing tools for TV and movies. And tonight will be a companion lesson as we explore trash removing tools for the internet. But before we get into these tools, let's spend some valuable time listening to the words that the Holy Spirit has preserved for us in Psalm 101. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm 101, before we read that text, I want you to imagine that you have just been voted in as President of the United States, but you are not in office yet. You have maybe that traditional 60-day period before you are sworn in to office, and so all throughout that period, you are contemplating all of the weight of responsibility that's going to come your way as leader of a nation. What resolutions would you make? What would you resolve to be your goals in office? Perhaps politically, you might aim for peace between nations. Or economically, you might aim for prosperity in America. You might even aim for good leadership skills and good communication skills so that you can work well with others and get things done. Well, in Psalm 101, David finds himself anointed as king, but most likely he's not taken office yet. It may be that he's still on the run for his life from King Saul. But during that interim period before being officially appointed king, he makes some resolutions about what his rulership as king is going to be like. And I'm amazed. Because in these resolutions, there's nothing about peace between nations. There's nothing about prosperity. And there's nothing about smart politics or economics. His resolve is to be pure in heart and soul. Here are his words, beginning in verse 1. I will sing of loving kindness and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. He who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me. Every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land so as to cut off from the city of the Lord all those who do iniquity. After reading this, it's pretty clear why the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. And in this text, we see four resolutions of this up-and-coming king. First of all, he resolves to honor God. In verse 1, he says, I will sing of loving kindness and justice to you, O Lord. I'll sing praises. He's basically saying, when I become king, my primary aim will be to give praise and honor to you, Father. And notice what he praises him for. He praises him for both his loving kindness and his justice. David, I think, is acknowledging that God is the true king. Because you see, God on his throne is perfect, not only in his compassion, but in his ability and his willingness to carry out justice on the wicked. The implication is David resolves to honor God by upholding that same level of loving kindness and justice when he sits on the throne. He'll not only honor God by singing praises to him, he'll honor God by ruling his people like God rules his people. Secondly, he resolves to have integrity in verses 2 and 4. You know, the word integrity comes from the root words integrate and entirety. It's why it's also translated sometimes fullness, completeness, innocence, blamelessness. David resolves to have nothing lacking in his character, to be full and complete, and therefore not to lose or give up any part of himself to evil. It's such a high and noble standard, he says, I don't even want to know about evil. Here's the ruler of a nation with the power to give commands to an entire nation, yet he resolves to have the moral innocence of a child. And what's more, he knows that integrity is not just something you show other people out in public. Integrity is about who you are and what you do when no one is around, in the privacy of your own home. And so he resolves to walk within his own house with integrity. And he also knows that one of the quickest ways to destroy his integrity would be to set worthless and wicked things before his eyes, so he resolves not even to look upon evil. David understands there's no way he can honor God as king if his heart is compromised and being reigned over in any way by sin. So he refuses to let wickedness have any place in his heart, in his eyes, in his house, or anywhere in his life. He also resolves to surround himself with good influences, skipping verse 5 for now, but verses 6 and 7. He talks about looking toward the faithful, and everybody who's faithful in the land, all the other people that are blameless and have integrity, those are the ones that are going to dwell in my house. I'm going to have those people close to me, but all those who do wicked, they're gone. They're not going to be in my presence. They're not going to be in my counsel. Even as king, David realizes he needs accountability and he needs the good example from other faithful people and other people of integrity to help keep him on track. And fourthly, he resolves to fight evil daily. I love that in the last verse where he says, every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land. David understands this fight against evil influences in his life is not just a one-time scrimmage. He knows that it's an ongoing daily battle. So every morning he needs to be diligent to pay attention to what's going on around him and what's going on in his heart and how what's going on around him is affecting what's going on in his heart and in his kingdom. And even though he's a compassionate king, he must be willing to take a stand against evil. And as king, to punish and remove the evildoers from his courts and from his land. Every day, those wicked influences, David knows, are going to try to creep in on him. And so every day, he needs to look out and see, are these people or are these influences honoring God? Are they people of integrity? Are they good influences? If not, they have no place in David's life. Question. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our earthly rulers today had this kind of heart and made these kind of resolutions? To get more personal, wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I had this kind of heart and made these kinds of resolutions? Brethren, let's make this prayer be our prayer. We may not be king and we may not be able to literally remove evil people from the land as David did, but we can certainly take a stand against any wicked influences in our lives and daily make sure that they are not taking hold of our hearts. Now, think about all of these resolutions David made before he officially became king. And then think about what David did in 2 Samuel 11. With Bathsheba. He goes out and he sees a woman bathing on a rooftop. And instead of turning away, he stares and he sets a worthless, wicked thing before his eyes, which leads to perverse thoughts in his heart, which leads to him stealing another man's wife and committing the very evil he resolved to remove from his land. He committed adultery and had her husband murdered to cover it up. David destroyed his integrity and every one of those resolutions he made in Psalm 101. Now imagine this. You go back in time and you find David after he wrote Psalm 101. And you tell him, David, that is such a magnificent psalm you just wrote. But I want to tell you that one day you're going to break every one of the resolutions you made in this psalm. Can you imagine the horror David would feel at that statement? He'd say, what do you mean? And so you tell him about all of the sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, and then you tell him about all of the consequences that followed, about the child that died as a result of that, and then about his own children rebelling against him and kicking him out of Jerusalem, and you know, one of his own children dying, and all of those other things that came with that. And David says, please tell me how to keep all that from happening. Please help me maintain my integrity and stay faithful to the resolutions that I've made here. And you tell him, if you really want my help, I can help you avoid all of this, David. And he says, do you please tell me? I'll do anything. And you say to him, I'm going to go visit Bathsheba. And I'm going to tell her that from now on, whenever she bathes on the roof, she needs to hang up a sheet so that you can't see her. The question is, David, do you want me to go tell her to do that? Because it's your choice. What do you think David's answer would be? Hopefully, after reading Psalm 101, I think it's obvious David would have jumped all over that opportunity to say, absolutely, if that's how it all got started, And I can avoid seeing Bathsheba naked in the first place, sign me up for that plan, because I don't want to destroy my integrity and I don't want to dishonor my God. Here's a sobering truth in today's world. With the internet, we can pull out our computers, our tablets, smart TVs, gaming systems, and yes, even our cell phones, and look at Bathsheba naked anytime we want and destroy our integrity in the process. Pornography is everywhere. And so easy to access even when you're not looking for it. Consider these statistics. Every second, 28,000 people are watching porn on the internet. 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. One-third of porn viewers are women, so it's not just a guy thing, mostly a guy thing, but it's a woman thing too. Every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is created in the United States. Porn increases the chances of marital infidelity by more than 300%. It promotes violence toward women. It leads to major depression and loneliness. It destroys our self-esteem. It destroys the beauty of the sexual relationship the way God intended it. And it literally distorts and reprograms our brains, not just psychologically, but also physiologically and chemically. It changes your brain. But most important, it destroys our moral integrity and in turn, our relationship with God. It sets a worthless, evil thing before our eyes, and it can easily fasten its grip on your heart and on mine. But here's the good news. We have the opportunity in today's world to throw a sheet over Bathsheba so we don't have to see her at all. And also with this sheet up, even in a moment of weakness, if you wanted to see Bathsheba naked, you would not be able to. It would be impossible. The question is, are you willing to throw a sheet over her so that you can walk within your house in the integrity of your heart? If so, there are some trash removing tools for the internet that help us hide Bathsheba from view. Now, these programs are more complicated to explain in detail than the programs that Adam talked about with TVs and movies, so I won't be able to give a comprehensive explanation of all of these, but I hope to introduce you to a couple of really solid filters for the internet that not only offer filtering, but accountability as well. Filtering, you see, will remove or block inappropriate content, but accountability is a little different. Accountability will actually send emails to your web activity to another person, so someone else can see what you have been watching. There are many good benefits of that accountability, And I'll tell you, one of them is so that you won't be able to just privately stare at Bathsheba all alone on the rooftop without anybody knowing it, like David did. There are many good filtering options for the internet, and you'll have to research this more on your own for sure. But I'll just give you two main ones to consider. First of all, NetNanny, consistently, NetNanny wins the number one award for the best internet software by companies that test these programs. If you type in www.netnanny.com, it'll take you to the homepage, which looks like this, and you see products and features and blogs support my account. If you click on the features tab and then scroll down the page, you'll find features like this. So you have an internet filter, which again will block a certain content, or it might warn you that there's content that's inappropriate. You can block access to pornography. Time management is very interesting. Parents can actually set limits on the time frame that their children are allowed on the internet. So you can say, I don't want any internet activity after 10 p.m. And the parents can just set that. Or I only want activity from this time to this time during the day. The parents can set that, and the kids aren't even allowed to get internet access after a certain time. You can mask profanity. So I'm talking primarily in this lesson about pornography, but there are also other vulgar things and profanity, just like there is in TV and movies, on the internet as well. And the masking profanity thing is interesting because you can actually, it'll actually custom block profanity on a web page. So you can still go to the web page, but if there's some profanity on that page, but there's still a lot of really good things, and you just want to block the profanity, you can do that with that feature. Social media monitoring. You can even make sure that there's not questionable activity going on social media, sharing inappropriate pictures, or actually this mentions cyberbullying, okay, or sexual predators trying to contact your children. Alerts, reporting, you'll get email alerts about what's going on. Remote admin, which means you can check these reports from any computer. You don't have to go home and check it there. If you have a computer anywhere, if you have your cell phone, you can check these reports anytime you want about the activity going on. And then there are user profiles. So you'll have different settings, obviously, for your five-year-old than you would for, you know, the parents or the teenager, maybe. And so you have different users. And that's a way to keep track of that. And here's the pricing page. I wish it was cheaper, honestly. It's such a good service, but it's very expensive. It's $40 per device if you just want to do one device. But if you have a family and you want to have five devices, whether that's, you know, your computer and your laptop, your cell phone, your tablet, five devices is $12 per device. 10 devices, it's going to be $9 per device, but it's still going to end up being, you know, $90 a month. Here's a second one, Covenant Eyes. The name for this program comes from the very powerful verse in Job 31:1, where Job says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? Some have said in a physical emergency, you call 911, but in a spiritual emergency, if you're having temptation with lust or with pornography, you need to call 311. It's a little corny, but it's memorable because it's supposed to call this verse to mind, Job 31:1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. I made an agreement. I'm not going to look at this anymore. And Covenant Eyes helps with that. I have actually used Covenant Eyes for years, and it's excellent. And it's also a lot less expensive than NetNanny because it isn't as maybe detailed in its features, maybe not as customizable. So, for instance, that masked profanity example in NetNanny, you can still see the page, but it'll just block the profanity on the page. But Covenant Eyes, well, it'll just say, hey, there's profanity on the page, so the whole page is blocked. You're just not going there. You're not going to see it. So it's less customizable, all right? And Covenant Eyes, you can't do time management with that. So it just, not everybody will need time management, though. It could be a single person. I may not have kids, or you may not really need the time management feature. So you choose one of these based on your needs, okay? But it's still very effective for accountability and blocking inappropriate content. Here's what the homepage looks like for Covenant Eyes. And then if you click on the pricing tab, you'll see that personal accounts start at $11 a month and family accounts $15 a month. By the way, I'm not connected to any of these. I'm not getting any endorsements for these advertising. But this one does work well. It's $11 a month. And what happens is if you get a personal account for $11 a month, if you want to add someone to your account, it's just $1.50 extra for every person. Maybe you have an account and then you have a Christian brother or sister that comes to you and says, hey, look, I need a filter or something. You can add them to your account for $1.50. And that's how that works. Also, here's an example of an accountability report that would be sent to the administrator of the account. Now, here you'll see content and ratings. So their rating system is E for everyone, Y for youth, T for teen, then there's mature teen, then there's mature and highly mature. And that's how the actual reports will read. And if you're an administrator and you're setting the restrictions on the filter, you'll basically say, look, I'll allow teen and down for this person, but that's it. Okay. And again, if you have children, maybe you just want to say, well, I'll only allow the things that are rated E. But if you have a teenager, you might allow E and Y and maybe T as well. You just kind of have to pay attention to that. Also, what's interesting is the accountability feature will send web search results. So this actually records what you're typing into search engines and sends an email to your parents or to whoever is your accountability administrator so they see what you're searching for. That's helpful. Very helpful because the filter won't let you actually watch the pornography, so you won't be able to see it. However, people will be able to know that you've been trying to watch it. And that's an issue too. And that's a conversation that needs to be had as well, as embarrassing as it might be for somebody to get this report. It's helpful because somebody can hold you accountable and you're not just David all alone on the rooftop by yourself doing whatever you want to do. And then there's the web activity, and it'll actually show you pages that you have visited. You've got Twitter there and that's rated T, and YouTube, and there's a Shakira video on YouTube, and hey, maybe that's questionable. Maybe you don't want to be watching that. You're not sure what's in that video. But then of course you got Playboy.com at the top, which is rated HM. That says it was actually blocked. So Covenant Eyes didn't actually let this person go to that website. But Covenant Eyes is also reporting that person searched for that. That person typed that into the actual URL and was trying to go to that site. And here's a side note. I cannot stand that pornography is rated mature or highly mature or even adult content, because watching porn is one of the most immature and childish things a person could do. You know, I wonder how many more people would, or let me say it this way, I wonder how many less people would watch pornography if all the ratings on the movies were immature, you know, or C for childish. How many people would do that? Right, but there's almost this kind of, yes, I'm an adult and I'm mature, and so I can watch more mature. No, it's ridiculous. I know why they do it, and I understand the ratings here, but that's absurd. And it's a sign of the times, and it's calling good evil and evil good. These are just two examples among many that I could show you. For instance, here is a website with a review of, in their opinion, the top 10 filtering software reviews. Okay, so again, I encourage you to do more research on your own. You see NetNanny won the gold award, and then you have number 2 is Spy Agent, and then Custodio and Verity, Witigo, Surfy by PureSight, McAfee, Familoop, Norton Family, and there's Covenant Eyes at the end. Now, again, it doesn't mean that Covenant Eyes doesn't work. It's very effective, but it may not be as customizable as these other programs. But I just wanted you to see, there's a ton of these. That's why I can't just go through all of them, but I'm giving you a feel for what they're all like, because they're all pretty similar in how they operate and how they function. And there are also hardware options, like external devices. You can hook up to your computer, which I don't think those are as effective as the software, but there are options like routers or OpenDNS that you can connect your computers to that also provide filtering. In the final part of this lesson, I need to tell you three things we'll need in order for these filtering options to work. First of all, we'll need to be humble. What if when you offered to David to tell Bathsheba to hang up a sheet. He said, no, 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 no. That's not necessary. I'll be strong enough to handle it. You see, now that I know what's going to happen, well, when I see her, I'll just turn away and I won't look and it'll all be fine. Well, I don't think David would have said that, but that's how so many people today react to filters. Oh, I don't need that on my computer. That just, you know, maybe other people need that. I don't need that. Or some people will say, real faith is when I can resist while having full access to it. That'll show that I'm really strong. No, be humble. That's prideful. Or how about this? My kids would never look at something like that. My kids know better. It reminds me of Peter's arrogance when he told Jesus, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Or Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 where he said, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. The average age of first exposure to pornography is 11. 11. No matter how well behaved your child is, no child is immune to temptation. And I'll tell you this, you may be absolutely right. Your child would never go actively look for those sorts of things. But as I said earlier, you don't have to be actively looking for those things. Sometimes they'll just pop up on the side of your screen and it's very easy to see or to stumble across, even unintentionally. And I'll tell you, even as adults, no matter how righteous or how strong we think we are, if we're operating with unfiltered internet access, we're just playing with fire. Just look again at David. Here's a man after God's own heart, a man who wrote Psalm 101. Yet when he saw Bathsheba, it took a powerful hold on him, and it destroyed his integrity and nearly destroyed his life. And it all could have been avoided if he would have never seen her in the first place. So be humble. Let's admit that although we may be willing in spirit, our flesh is weak. And we need to take steps to put a sheet over Bathsheba. Secondly, be extreme. Would you turn to Matthew 5? I want to read this passage. In Matthew 5, verses 27 through 30, Jesus having a discussion about the purpose of the law of Moses, that it had been twisted by the Pharisees. And they thought, well, look, it's fine to not commit adultery, but that's really talking about physically going and committing the physical act of adultery. And Jesus challenges them that actually that law is trying to change your heart as well. And he says in verse 27, beginning in Matthew 5, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now, I know it's always a temptation to say, well, Jesus isn't being literal here. He's not talking about mutilating yourself. Okay, but that's true, but let's not explain away the power of the illustration that he wants us to be extreme. And you know what your weaknesses are. I don't know what your weaknesses are. I know what my weaknesses are. So I can't stand up here and tell you what to do. I can't say, look, you need this particular filter on your computer if you're going to go to heaven. I can't say that to you. But Jesus says whatever weaknesses we have that cause us to sin, we need to be extreme and radical about removing it from our lives, so that we can avoid sin. For you, that may mean going with the most expensive filtering program like NetNanny, if that's the one that is going to help you the most. It's better to lose money than to lose our souls. Being extreme may mean not allowing, and this, maybe this isn't extreme, this is probably just wise, may mean not allowing anyone in your home to have a computer in their room. But to keep all computers out in public places in the home so everyone can see what's going on. That's not just for the kids. I think that's wise for adults as well. Being extreme may mean disabling the web browser altogether on a smart TV or gaming system, or disabling your ability to download apps on your phone so that even as a grown man or a grown woman, You have to, if you want to download an app, physically go find one of the elders or one of your friends or the preacher or whoever you have as your administrator and say, can you please put a password in for me because, you know, I need to download this app, and then you can lock it. You can lock my phone right back and I'll do it right in front of you. If you need to do that, you need to do that. It's annoying, right, to have to do that. It may make your life harder, but I was talking to Tim earlier about this. It'd make your life harder without one hand too, wouldn't it? Make your life harder without an eye, wouldn't it? But Jesus says, I don't care about how hard your life is. He says, I care that you make it to heaven. And that's what we need to be focused on. It may mean getting rid of the internet altogether. Just don't use the internet. Go to a public place and use the internet. If I got to drive to the library to use the internet because I can't pay for internet in my house, then so be it. That's extreme, but if that's what you have to do, then do it. It may mean getting rid of the smartphone and going back to a dumb phone, if you can find one of those. And again, that's one of those oxymorons in our culture, like highly mature. We call smartphones smart. I don't know. They're not smart all the time. We're not smart for using them all the time. And we can misuse them for very unsmart things. Smartphone isn't smart at all if it's keeping us out of heaven. Thirdly and finally, be aware of your heart. You're still in Matthew. Would you turn to Matthew 15? You know, the Pharisees were awesome at placing external restrictions on themselves and thinking that it was the external restrictions that made them righteous. And so they had all these hand-washing ceremonies and strict laws about what you can eat and what you can't eat and when. And Jesus came to show them it's not the external restrictions that make you righteous, it's the internal condition of the heart. And so in Matthew 15, beginning in verse 18, Jesus says, the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Here's the point. If we have hearts that are wicked and perverse and do not care to serve the Lord, our external restrictions with internet filters will only be like band-aids on a fatal wound. Because we'll go out and we'll actively find a way to look at Bathsheba. We'll go out and we'll try to tear that sheet down so that we can see Bathsheba. We'll go find out if Bathsheba has a twin sister so that we can go and watch her bathe. Because we don't really care about maintaining our integrity or honoring the Lord if we have a corrupt heart. So while we need to take advantage of these trash removing tools for the internet, and I highly recommend it, the ultimate solution is to develop a relationship with God from the heart, to be genuinely grateful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sin, and to allow that gratitude to lead us to develop a heart like David's in Psalm 101. And I'll tell you, a great way to start nurturing the development of that kind of heart is to remove our ability to set trash before our eyes on the internet. Psalm 101, 3 and 4, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me, I will know no evil. Will you take out your songbooks, please? Ultimately, what God understood that we all need most is a trash removing tool for the heart. And I find it interesting that the way he did that was not to filter our lives. He didn't set restrictions on it and say, well, look, you can't, now it's impossible for you to go commit this sin now because of this external restriction I placed on you. That's not the way God operated. He said, I want to change you from within. I want to change your heart by giving you hope and letting you know how much I love you, that I sent my son to die for you. Don't you want to then turn around and serve me? Don't you want to stop serving sin and serving Satan? That's what God wants. He wants our heart, like He had David's heart in Psalm 101. Are you resolved tonight to give God your heart in gratitude for His sacrifice, that He sent His Son to die for you? If so, if you're willing to believe on Him, repent of your sins, confess His name and be baptized, you can be forgiven of all of your transgressions. You can come up out of the waters of baptism a new creature with new hope to be pure, to maintain your integrity as David did. And if you've already done that, but you've wandered off and allowed your heart to become corrupt and you've set wicked and worthless things before your eyes, God is still there waiting for you to come to Him in repentance. But you don't have forever. The time is now to make your life right with God. Ask Him for forgiveness. If we can pray for that forgiveness with you and for you, we're happy to do that. Let us know if we can help you honor God in your heart tonight. Come forward while we stand and sing.